Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Kramer and Jess.
On demand. Here's the morning show highlight clip of the day.
Mix 106.5. It's Kramer and Jess. Happy Friday. We're going to get on Angie in just about 30 seconds. Angie was the one we talked to yesterday this time. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I feel, do you feel my nervousness? Because we're bringing Will on as well.
I know.
So they're both on
hold. It was your idea.
I know, but I've just been so.
You did it.
There's sometimes, just know that, like, we get really invested in your lives, like with your stories, and we're really thankful you share them with us, but then we just kind of get too invested. First, though, can we just celebrate? Jess, come on. It's like so Purple Friday in the studio right now, man. We're just excited for the game. Goes down
Sunday.
Is it 1 o'clock game? Yeah.
Yeah, 1 p.m. Right? I hope so. Please.
Ravens, yeah. The Ravens taking on the Bengals at 1 o'clock.
I love when it's at 1 p.m.
Yeah, here in town. So if when it's here, it just feels even more exciting. So hopefully you get your purple on today. You're celebrating. We are too. And I don't know. It just feels good to be here for this, for sure. Okay, let's catch you up with exactly what is going on before I bring them on really quick. Yesterday, we met a woman named Angie, and she came on our show actually originally because we were doing this segment called Charm City Secrets. The question was, your worst first kiss, and what was her backstory, Jess?
So, Angie is recently divorced. She has 2 kids, 2 sons, 7 and 11, and she just started getting back into dating. And the reason why it was her worst first kiss, because it was the first time that, one, she was kissing someone, like, and getting back into the game and getting comfortable with all that kind of stuff. But it was her third date with this guy she had met on eHarmony. Things were going well. But then her 7-year-old had woken up, saw them kissing, did the whole, ew, mom, gross kind of thing. And he just disappeared, ghosted her, no explanation, and she never heard from him again.
Sure. So what I said yesterday, and we'll get Angie back on. Angie, hi, good morning.
Hey.
Is it weird now as we're like sitting here telling your story time and time again?
I know.
It's become like a little saga on the show. But what we said to Angie was, I said yesterday, I said, you know what? Let's just ask. Let's just,
right,
like, because it sucks not knowing. So why don't we just like call him and ask? And so yesterday at this time, we put Angie on hold, played some music. I got Will, who is the guy. I got his phone number. And I called him up after the show and he has agreed to come on. So let me get him on really quick. Hey, Will, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
So, Will, Angie, Will, you guys know each other.
Hey, Will. And,
hey again.
So, I caught Will up with the whole situation yesterday. And so there's no surprises. Nobody's going to get, you know, bamboozled here.
Yes, we asked for permission. Everyone agreed.
So, you know, Will, I explained the story to you yesterday. Angie was a little paranoid that the reason that she didn't hear from you ever again was because her kids, her 7-year-old son had woken up in the middle of your kiss. And then she's like, well, that was why I never heard from her again. Angie, and I don't want to put you on the spot, but you would have liked to have progressed things with him, correct? With Will, like things were good for you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I had a great time and I was finding myself really opening up again and felt really comfortable. And I was really looking forward to just seeing where it was going to go.
So then she said, you know, after that, communication kind of stopped. And so it's honestly none of our business, as I explained to you. But we're just kind of curious of what happened, if you don't mind sharing with everybody now.
I was also having a great time, and you know, Angie and I were seemed to be doing well. And then, you know, the kiss was fine. up until, you know, I thought it was my conscience speaking, saying, ew, gross, but it was actually her kid.
Okay. You know,
fine. But the thing is, I didn't know she had kids up until that moment. So it was a little jarring to me. There was no mention of kids. I felt like I was going a little crazy. I remember that night I went back and I checked our dating profiles on eHarmony. There's no photos of kids. There's no mention of kids. And, you know, to be really honest, I'm not someone that sees myself with kids.
Okay.
But to be even more honest, I was a little bit more uncomfortable with the fact that kids weren't mentioned at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not really big on wasting people's time or having time wasted of my own. So I just felt like, you know, these first few dates of not mentioning kids was kind of, I don't know, a little unfair.
Okay.
Because if
fair.
I had known that earlier, I think we would have had a different conversation earlier. Right.
Sure. Yeah. So, Angie, thoughts on that? Because obviously now we know it was about the kids, but kind of like in a different way.
Yeah. Why didn't you tell him right away?
Yeah. I mean, listen, this is something that I had been wrestling with in my mind for a while, which is also why it took me a little bit to get the nerve to, like, go back out there and date. And I wasn't sure what to do. Like, do I tell these guys, you know, on the first date that I have two kids and or not? And I was so torn with the decision. And I had friends that were telling me, you know, why it's better to, like, wait. It's better to have them like you and then, you know, tell them that you have kids, because then at that point they already like you.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what I was doing. I have been out of the dating world for a very long time, like nearly a decade,
right,
you know?
Right,
and
right.
So I wasn't sure what to do. And I had friends that are still even single telling me, you know, they're very much in the dating world, telling me not to tell these guys that I have kids. And so that was the route that I took. And I honestly, to be 100% transparent, I was really planning on telling Will, like, after our next date or so, because I was starting to feel comfortable with him.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, kind of blew up in my face, and I wasn't intending it to do. I wasn't meaning to intentionally lie to him.
Right.
I guess I was just waiting until we got to a comfortable place together that I felt like it was a natural time, instead of me just being on the first date. Oh, by the way, I have two kids. And they're like 7 and 11. They're not even babies.
Yeah. I can tell you're flustered by this whole thing. I mean, like, obviously, you know, I'm in your shoes too. I'm a divorcee dating person as well. And Will, I actually have to agree. On date one, you better tell me you got kids. Like, you better tell me you got kids before we even get there. Because I just feel like that's a part of your life. That's something that, like, you got to know.
Yeah.
You know? Now, to play devil's advocate, Jessa, maybe you could speak on this a little bit better. I mean, do you think that as a woman, would you give your friends advice to, like, not tell that you have kids because of maybe the insecurities that comes with some guys? Obviously, Will's like, well, I don't want kids.
Well, and I understand where Will is coming from, because if you don't want kids, that's your choice. So he is totally, I mean, that's fair. I don't think he should have ghosted her. I don't agree with that. I thought that was kind of mean. But as far as with Angie, I also understand where she's coming from, because she's just trying to figure it out too. She doesn't know what she's doing. And we didn't know that she didn't share the information with him.
Right.
I do think that that was her, you know, kind of maybe a mistake on her part. But I also understand that this is something that's completely new to you. So, of course, you're kind of scared and you don't know how to go about that.
Let's do this. 410-583-1065. 410-583-1065. Should you tell people on date one that you have kids? Should you, like, flat out, or are you on the other side? Because, Angie, you were saying some of your friends are telling you opposite, that you shouldn't say that?
Yeah, I mean, that's the advice that I was given from a few people.
Which I do get, because I think in her mind, she's like, well, he's not even going to give me a chance at all without even meeting me and knowing me, you know?
Let's, 410-583-1065, call us and text us. Like, when are you supposed to let somebody know you have kids? I think it's actually a pretty valid question. We'll talk to you next on Mix. Mix 106.5. Happy Friday. It's Kramer and Jess. Just talking to Angie and Will. If you're just tuning in, you want to catch up with the situation? I mean, it's kind of long, but do your best.
Okay. So we had a topic on Tuesday, and it was, what was your worst first kiss? Angie called in and tells us she's divorced, went on her first time dating, has her first kiss with this guy, third date. Her 7-year-old son interrupts them, and he completely ghosts her. after that. She doesn't hear from him ever again.
And so we just brought them together, and he, his name is Will, by the way. Will said, yeah, because she never told me she had kids, like in the first place.
Yeah.
It wasn't the kiss was bad, it was that she never said. So the question that we just kind of threw out to you, because I just started thinking, like, when are you supposed to tell someone you're dating that you have kids, especially yes. in that divorced world?
And how to go about that, because Angie just didn't know how.
410-583-1065. Jamie from Catonsville, what do you think about all this situation?
I'm kind of on both sides because I see why Amy didn't tell because, you know, you want to give him a chance to like you as you.
Sure.
No, I understand. Yeah, I understand that too.
Before you like throw in other things, because if you on the first date say, oh, I have two kids, and then he just is like, oh, no, sorry.
Right.
And then he doesn't even get a chance to know you sure. or meet you or like you. But I also understand from Will's perspective, if he has always been someone saying, I don't want kids,
right.
I can see why he was upset, but I'm leaning more towards Amy because given her, you know, past,
Angie.
And
Angie.
My mm-hmm. parents got divorced, like, when I was young, and so, like, old and, like, around her kids' age, so, like, I can, you know, sympathize with, like, you know, you've been with someone for so long, and you're new to this, but...
Yeah, she didn't know.
Right.
And, you know, so... I can see it both ways, but I'm leaning more towards Amy because, again, you want to give him a chance to feel comfortable with you and like
That's
you
tough.
Before you throw in this whirlwind of two kids, and then he's like, oh, no, sorry, I never mind. Hopefully
yeah.
he right. already has established some level of comfort.
Right, without that thrown in there.
Exactly.
I don't disagree with that either. Hey, Jamie, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Bye.
Kara from Carroll County. Kara from Carroll County. Okay. Hey, thanks for calling. What do you help us out here? When are you supposed to tell somebody you're dating you have kids?
And what is your situation, too?
So, I do not have children. I am 37.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, it should be on the profile from the moment it's set up.
I kind of feel that way, too.
Does that mean that there needs to be pictures? Absolutely not, because the world we're living in.
Right.
However, I feel you're a package deal if you come with a child or children.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you're with, and say I'm a little on the other end, but if you're going to withhold that information from me, what else are you going to withhold?
Okay, right. So let me play devil's advocate, because I don't disagree with you, but I mean... To be fair, like mm-hmm. on my, you know, I've deactivated my dating accounts now because I got to work through some things. But on there, I mean, I don't put everything. I'm not like,
Do you put that you're divorced?
I don't
there?
Put that I'm divorced.
So do you think that people need to put that they've been divorced on their bio?
I just put single because I feel like divorce to me makes me look a kind of certain way. And I think that women, some women feel like as kids, they're going to be looked at a certain way.
Of course.
So... The divorce thing, I think, is different because that's a sense of finality. That's done. That's in your past. You're single. Those children are a part of you.
Right.
Yeah,
they're
you're
an
right.
extension of you. They aren't going anywhere. This is not a pet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there are some people that are, for example, on mine, I do not, on the app that I'm on, it doesn't, like, mine says, does not have children, but open to children.
Okay.
Meaning the other person, I'm open to them having children,
yes.
but I don't have them.
Right.
Okay.
Now,
that's
in
which
reality,
I think is really nice. Yeah.
But that's being honest.
Right.
Right.
But if
honesty.
I didn't want children, I would put on there, I don't want children.
Right. Right. No.
You know what I mean?
I don't disagree with you. But so, yeah, it's like, how much do you, like, what things are you supposed to say up front and what are you not? Kara, I'm glad you called. Thank you so much. Happy Friday.
Thank you.
Same to you. Thank you.
410-583-1065. We're going to get to the Baltimore top three in a couple seconds. But also, I'm curious, like, if you are in this exact situation.
Right.
Like, is there anybody listening right now in Baltimore that's like, you know what? I don't put my kids on my dating profile.
And here's what.
We've figured out who the most followed man on Instagram is. Try to guess who it is, and we'll tell you in the Baltimore top three here in just a couple seconds. First, I feel like we got to keep talking about this because you guys are blowing the phones up this morning about it and the text as well. Really quick backstory. Got a girl named Angie on the phone a couple minutes ago. Got a guy named Will. Angie's kind of wondering why she got blown off by this guy. He admits because she never said, you get kids. I had no idea before we started dating. On our third date, he found out she has kids. And she was like, I didn't know that I had to tell you that early on that I had kids. And I was scared if I did, that it would kind of like run you away. And our question to you this morning is like, well, when should you tell somebody you're dating that you have kids? 410-583-1065. Catherine from Baltimore. So you're kind of in a really similar spot here. You're divorced?
Yes.
You have two children?
Yes.
On your dating profile, does it say you have kids?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And so what do you think about that?
I mean, so there's two pieces. I think that being a mom is one of the central core parts of who I am. So I totally get you want someone to like take you at face value and get to know you. But my kids are like probably the largest part of my life. And being their mom is a defining part of it.
Yeah.
So I guess somewhat to Will's point, I don't want to waste my time with someone that's never going to want my kids.
Right.
No, I think we're for sure, like, this probably isn't going to be the right match, right?
Right.
But with that said, like, was she being deceptive? Like, do you find, as someone that straight up puts their information on there?
Deceptive. I don't think she was being deceptive, but I think it kind of set it up for failure. And listen, it's so hard dating as like a divorced mom, so it's terrible, and I do it in fits and starts. But I think the other piece is that the flip side is I would also not bring anyone to my house with my kids within the first year
until you knew for sure that this was something serious.
Even if they were asleep, you still wouldn't do it?
Nope. Mm-mm.
Okay.
Your channel.
You know, in Angie's defense, she did think the kids were asleep. It was late, right? I didn't expect her
kids
to
wake up. And I totally get it. And it's like so hard. It's not a judgment thing. It's just for me, I don't like anyone. Like, you don't get to be anywhere near their lives until I'm sure.
Right.
Can you?
Because I'm
divorced, but I don't have kids. But can you explain though? Because one thing you said in this was it's hard to date as a divorced mom. What are the challenges that come with that?
Sure. So I have my kids 100% of the time. So, you know, just finding the time is hard. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, mostly it's finding the time.
Yeah, now I get it.
Yeah, prioritizing that. And then you don't know what other people's perspective is going to be. And you hope that someone, because I lead with it, I hope that the person I meet would be open to it. But then you don't ever really know. And then it's trying to sort out if it's going somewhere, should they meet the kids, should they not?
Right.
If they have kids, how do you think about the kids meeting the kids? It's just there's a lot of steps.
You got to like really think through it. And I get that. You really got to think through it. I that makes sense. Hey, I'm really glad you called. Thanks for the honesty this morning.
Thank you for sharing with us this morning.
No problem. Good luck to Will and Angie.
Hi, Laura from Berry Hall. Good morning.
Hi.
What do you think about all this?
So I have been through this on one end of it. A couple years ago, I was going through a divorce, and I decided to get on Match.com. And on my profile, I made it very clear that I had a 1.5-year-old daughter.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I felt like, kind of like one of the previous callers said, that it's something that I needed to let somebody know off the bat. We were a package deal. I mean, having a 1.5-year-old, we were definitely a package deal.
Yeah, right. Totally.
I had custody of her, and you know, I just felt like if somebody was going to come into my life, I was being very vulnerable, that they were going to have to accept me and her, being that she was so young and so dependent on me.
Right.
So I made it very clear, and I got messages from a few people, but the first person on a date with, come to find out, we actually had we knew somebody mutually, his sister-in-law and I went to college together for 5 years, and
he
did it very well.
Baltimore, yeah.
So that kind of helped, but he actually told me after the fact that he had no interest in dating somebody that was not only going through a divorce, but also had children.
Yeah.
Now, 3 years later, we are happily married, and he is...
Ha! Got him!
My daughter's father has actually, fortunately, passed away.
Oh, my gosh, so sorry.
he is sad, and they have a fantastic relationship. And I know that's not the norm, but, you know, my feeling was he had, whoever had to know that I had this.
Wait, your phone.
If they didn't like it, then I wasn't going to wait.
Yeah, your phone's kind of breaking up, but I feel like what a cool story to hear, because even though you were flat out honest, and he even said, nah, like, I don't want this, here it is. Like, for both of them, that's probably a really good perspective to hear this morning.
Yeah.
So thank you for calling. Yeah. Thanks for letting us know that story.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you.
The Mix 106.5. It's top three with Kramer and Jess.
Trending stories in Baltimore and across the nation.
Here you go. Top three trending stories with Jess.
Sponsored by Bob Ward Homes. Check out the new Snyder Summit Town Homes at bobward.com. So the status of the second presidential debate between President Trump and Joe Biden is up in the air after the commission that organizes the event said it would be held virtually on October 15th to minimize the risk of spreading the coronavirus, a change that the president quickly shut down. President Trump said, I'm not going to waste my time on a virtual debate. That's not what debating is all about. You sit behind a computer and do a debate. It's ridiculous. And then they cut you off whenever they want. After that, things were going back and forth between both of them all day yesterday. So as of right now, in this moment, they've decided to do a town hall format that would have the moderator, C-SPAN anchor Steve Scully in Miami, while Trump and Biden will be in separate locations scheduled for October 22nd, which is already the latest debate date in 40 years. The White House also released a statement this morning saying the president is cleared to return to public engagements as early as tomorrow.
Just pencil that one in, by the way. That's it.
Yeah.
We don't know what's still going to happen.
It's Purple Friday today, and Lamar Jackson did not practice yesterday for the second day in a row. So I just want us to all know this, just so we're prepared in case anything happens. But according to the Ravens injury report, Jackson was sidelined with a knee injury and an illness. According to an ESPN report, Jackson's illness is said to be a stomach ache, and because of the knee injury, that's why he couldn't practice on Wednesday. More. But the knee injury and the stomach is not considered serious enough to keep him from playing on Sunday against the Cincinnati Bengals is what they're saying right now, as of now. And Jackson has yet to miss a game because of an injury since taking over as a starter in week 11 of the 2018 season.
Here's to it, then.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson has officially become the most followed man in America on Instagram. I'm not even that surprised. He has officially hit over 200 million followers. The Rock is also the most followed American man in the world. While he is the most followed American man in the world, he's not actually the most followed man in the world, so that still belongs to Portuguese soccer star Cristiano Ronaldo, who has 239 million followers. To celebrate the social media achievement, The Rock posted a video of himself dressed up, taking a shot of tequila, and he told his followers to always speak their truth.
Yeah, man.
I love that, man.
I wonder if he looks at it and was like, man, if I'd only be the most in the world, you know what I mean?
I love him. This is Jess, and that was your top three.
Kramer and Jess.
On demand. Here's the morning show highlight clip of the day. WWMX HD1 Baltimore.
A radio.com station.
It's new morning fun with Kramer and Jess.
Mix 106.5.
Hello? Hey! Happy Friday, Mix 106.5, Kramer and Jess. What's up, it's Jess. I know usually Kramer starts these things, but I'm gonna let you in on a little secret 6 o'clock club. Guess who wasn't prepared? This man right here in the studio next to me. Tell him why.
Jess and I are sitting here. Hang on, I can't hear myself. Here we go. Jess and I were just sitting here, and all of a sudden, I'm like, oh my gosh, I hear like the traffic come on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I reach over to grab my headphones, and
they
I'm
weren't
like,
there.
Oh, my headphones aren't here. Jess and I are sitting here watching SNL clips from 2 years ago.
Just
having a fun Friday morning. I'm like, oh my God.
We're just hanging out.
Got a radio show to do.
We're like, oh yeah.
That's right. Hey, good morning, 6 o'clock club. How are we feeling this morning? You good? You
I'm
waking
good.
Up? Yeah. Okay. Jess is here. That's good. Anybody else? Hopefully.
Anyone?
410-583-1065. Text us this morning. We just want to know why you're up. I was telling Jess, I was actually really proud of myself. And I don't know if this happens to anybody but myself. Same thing happens on the weekends to me, too. I was dragging yesterday. This is one of those days where I'm just like, I feel like I never quite woke up, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I'm going to be in bed by 9 o'clock sharp.
Yes.
And like at 9:30, I rolled over. Felt myself falling asleep. I'm like, yes. Like, you start doing the math. You're like, okay, if I get up, I can sleep now. I can get like 6 hours sleep.
Yeah.
This is great. I'll be damned, though.
What?
If my body didn't wake up an hour earlier than I usually do.
Did you go back to sleep?
No.
And you were still late. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I just moved my come-in time, I've decided. I used to say I'm going to be here at 5, and I'm now changing to 5:15.
Yeah, just stop it.
I'm not going to lie to myself anymore.
Yeah, stop lying to me, not to yourself.
5:15. I give you a little heads up here. Buy your little alone time to get started. No, you know, once I come in here, it's like
I need it. I'm trying to type and read, and this man's talking to me about SNL. I know. I can't read and talk to you at the same time. So honestly, the 30 minutes is beneficial to me, too.
Do you get here at 4:45?
And I get here at 5, player.
I don't get here at 5:30. Show some respect to the time that I get here, Jessica. It would be 5:15 at the latest.
Ish.
At the latest.
Yesterday, it was later.
I started, there was a bad wreck coming in yesterday, which never happened to me before. I started watching Charm City Kings last night, right before I fell asleep.
So the whole thing is filmed in Baltimore?
Filmed here, about this bike gang, I guess it is.
Mm-hmm. No, I saw a preview for it.
And I don't really know much about it, but apparently it's a kind of a legendary story. There's been other movies about it, but the first 30 minutes of it, super cool.
That's awesome.
I was really into it. It's a Jada Pinkett Smith movie.
Aww.
It's just a little Baltimore backstory for you. Ready for Friday. Glad it's Friday. Purple Friday. I need more purple in my wardrobe, I realize, too. I see your hat.
Yes.
Yeah, you got purple on.
Yep.
My only purple that I had in t-shirt form was this tie-dye shirt that I'm wearing.
Which is blue.
And purple.
It's not purple. You're pushing it. Careful. You're pushing it. That's a completely different
purple
color.
Purple Friday, man. It just feels good. All right, let's get your text going. 410-583-1065. Who's up this morning, Jess?
Johnny E. You already know who's
Johnny
up.
E.
Get some coffee, Johnny E. Good morning, Miss Karen. Good morning, Jamie. And good morning, Veronica. That's who I have so far.
Are we dragging this morning? Where are we at?
Good morning, Kimmy Kim. Hey, girl.
Are we the only ones awake this morning?
Oh, good morning, Pam. On. Good morning, Olivia. Y'all are up and texting us. Good morning, Sean.
We just want to know you're up. Come on, this is 6 o'clock club. We got to do this thing together. We're going to be up. We're going to be up together. 410-583-1065. Top three next. Are you keeping up with all this presidential debate stuff? Because yesterday it kind of went back and forth. There is going to be one. There's not going to be one. Jess and I sat here for about 20 minutes this morning trying to figure out, is there going to be one? And we'll give you the latest here in just a couple seconds. First, 6 o'clock club. Man, we love you guys. And in case you're confused, I didn't really explain it last break. This is the 6 o'clock club. This is everybody that's up here in Baltimore and now around the country. People listening at radio.com.
Yes.
That are awake before the sun.
Yes.
And we're like a special little group because nobody else can relate to this
Except
early schedule.
Us.
This
Except
is the only
us.
One. So who's up?
Miss Irina. Good morning. Irina. It's so cute because she was on air with us yesterday and she said that her daughter heard her. So she recorded her and posted it on Facebook. So now she feels radio famous. Good morning, Christine. Paul, Amanda, Abigail, Shanae, Liz, good morning, Stacy, good morning, Summers, good morning, Siobhan. Good morning. I'm so happy you guys are awake with us.
You too. 410-583-1065. Before 6:30 this morning, Reader's Digest just came out with the nicest place in Maryland. And Gaithersburg was the winner, by the way, all because of this one particular kid.
And he just so happens to be our friend.
He's on the show before 6:30.
Mix 106.5. It's top three with Kramer and Jess.
Trending stories in Baltimore and across the nation.
All right, top three trending stories. We're going to try to break down this whole
just bear with me.
Thing.
Sponsored by Bob Ward Homes. Check out their new Snader Summit Townhomes at bobward.com. So the status of the second presidential debate between President Trump and Joe Biden is up in the air after the commission that organizes the event said it would be held virtually to minimize the risk of spreading the coronavirus. So initially, they said, let's do it virtual, October 15th in Miami. President Trump quickly shut it down, saying, I'm not going to waste my time on a virtual debate. That's not what debating is about. You sit behind a computer and do a debate. It's ridiculous. And then they can cut you off whenever they want. After saying that, things kind of went back and forth all day. Joe Biden agreed and then he didn't. So as of right now, they've decided to do a town hall format where they would have the moderator from C-SPAN, anchor Steve Scully, and the questions in Miami will be the questioner in Miami, while Trump and Biden will be in separate locations scheduled for October 22nd, which is already the latest debate date in 40 years. Also, the White House released a memo saying that the president is clear to return to public engagements as early as tomorrow.
So that's two Thursdays. 2 weeks from yesterday, pretty much.
Right.
Wow, that's 2 weeks before the election.
Yes.
Yeah, so we're getting close, man.
So we'll see.
Close.
And if anything changes, we will update you.
I'm sure it will.
And so we're learning together.
Pencil that one in, I would say.
Yes. The Maryland Zoo will light up Baltimore with colorful holiday zoo lights this holiday season from November 20th through January 3rd. Twinkling lights will be up in the shape of zoo animals with more than 50 light displays. And this is a new twist on the event that hasn't been held here at the zoo for many years. The event will run Wednesday through Sunday from 5 to 7 p.m. with extended weekend hours. People can experience it from their cars as well on Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Sundays. It starts at Eagle Gate and goes down to Buffalo Yard Road. Tickets are $45 for drive-through experience, $20 for walkthrough. Keep in mind that the advanced time tickets purchased, you have to get a ticket before you just show up. And let's see, members receive a $5 discount as well. Zoo lights will be closed on Thanksgiving and Christmas. And for more information and to get your ticket, MarylandZoo.org, okay?
I just feel like when the holidays get here, which won't be too long, right? In the next couple of weeks, I'll start feeling, especially after Halloween.
Yeah.
I feel like it's going to take the edge off 2020 a little bit.
Listen,
I think once we see the lights and the trees and the menorahs and, you know.
Honestly, I just need to see the Christmas lights.
Yep.
I'm going to be a completely different person,
yeah,
I swear to you.
I think we are going to be.
I will be a completely different person once I can wear my Christmas sweater, I promise.
I wonder if Tom, our boss, is up. There's a part of me that really just wants to play Christmas music right now. just to go ahead and just get
a little
scoot
Carrie.
Through.
Just
yeah,
a little
the rest
bit.
Of the year.
A little bit. Let us know. Little
yeah.
Boys to men up
I'd,
in here.
I'll be okay.
Sister Act 3 is officially in the works. Whoopi Goldberg confirmed it in a recent interview and said for a long time, they kept saying no one wanted to see it. And then quite recently, it turns out that may not be true. So we're working diligently to try to figure out how to get the whole gang back together and come back.
I would be into it.
Oh, I would watch it in a heartbeat.
I think right now what we're finding is that the more that we are being nostalgic, the happier we're becoming. It's taking us back to a different time,
so
a different
much fun.
Mindset, you know? Yeah, I'd be totally into it.
Do you think Lauryn Hill, who was in Sister Act 2, would be in it? You think she would?
Was Whoopi in Sister Act 2?
Yeah.
Was there a third one?
So this is the third one is a new one. Lauryn Hill was in the second one when she went back to the high school.
Right. But there wasn't a third one so far. This would be the third
one.
This
is the new.
I would hope so. But Whoopi's got to be in it.
No, 100%.
You can't take Whoopi out, or I don't think I want to see it.
No, she is.
You know what I mean?
She is, of course.
Yeah.
This is Jess, and that was your top three.
And you're texting us 410-583-1065. It's a Purple Friday on the show. Thanks for being here. Mix 106.5, it's Kramer Jess.
Hey.
I'm sorry, I'm trying to get this lined up now. We were just having a side note about this crabs for Christmas, mm-hmm. right? And, mm-hmm. and somebody had texted in. We were talking about the holidays and how once the holidays get here in Maryland, it's going to maybe take the edge off mm-hmm. of everything that's going on. And I wouldn't be mad if we started this holiday celebration today. I may go home this weekend.
And just decorate.
And pull my tree out.
Just for fun.
Because, like, why not?
I know.
You know? Like, who's going to stop me?
Well, no, there is a thing. People do Halloween Christmas trees, and then people do Thanksgiving Christmas
trees. I'm going straight Christmas.
For real?
I'm talking Santa. I'm talking snowflakes. Like, I don't care.
Really?
I think I'm just ready for it. So somebody texted in a couple seconds ago and said, you guys need to hear Crabs for Christmas. And we're
so
like,
it's a song. I was thinking we were eating or dressing up. I didn't know it was a song.
We've never heard this before, so we're listening together for the first time this morning. Okay. Feels like the holidays.
In a department store north of Houston.
Aw.
Sat a Santa Claus on Christmas Eve.
Well, I don't want to cry.
In a minute, he knows the front door will close. And this tired old Santa can pack up and leave. But a big fella came out of nowhere. And he sat right down on Santa's knee. Well, the whole place stopped dead, as the big fella said, Dear Santa, I appreciate you listening to me. And he said, oh, I want crabs for Christmas.
Oh,
only this is crabs fun. Will do. Oh,
I just imagine people like in the bar, you know, like just kind of swaying back and forth. As
I can't wait.
As you're singing it. Feels good though, right? Kind of feels good to get like the holidays going. We might play, you know what? We might honestly play a holiday song every morning before 6:30.
Just random, just
before
for the 6 o'clock club.
Yeah, just because. Like, I'm all about it, right?
Yes.
Anybody else waking up this morning, Jess, before we get going here?
Yes.
With Kavanaugh?
Good morning, Shayla. Good morning, Annie. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning,
Kyle. Thank you for waking up with us.
Did you see the meme I posted on my Instagram yesterday?
Which one?
About NSYNC.
What?
So, you didn't see it?
No.
Maybe you should follow me, Jessica.
Oh?
And everyone else. Oh. Maybe you should check my Instagram. Your quote-unquote best friend's Instagram.
You're so annoying. When did you post this? Right before 9 p.m.? Because, player, I was already asleep.
No, it wasn't before 9 p.m. I said I missed the days when this was our biggest debate, and it had a picture of NSYNC versus Backstreet Boys.
Oh,
yeah, those were good times. I'm that guy Kramer, by the way, on Instagram. I think I've got pretty good memes.
Oh, yeah, you're funny.
Thank you.
You are funny.
This is Mix 106.5. Question for you this morning is, which value do you hope that you most instill into your kids? Because a new survey came out this morning, okay? You good? Jess has that face unless she's going to start crying.
I know. I love stuff like this.
It is a survey that came out that said that this is the value that most Baltimore moms wish they could instill onto their kids.
Okay.
You already know the answer. I've already told you the answer. But you can text us with what you want to do. 410-583-1065. I'm going to go down the list. Okay, from 5 to 1 here. Number 5 things that mom says was individuality.
Oh.
Number 4. It's going to be a long list if you freak out for everyone.
I know.
Just how about you withhold your reaction until we get to the last one,
okay? I won't say anything.
The number 4 thing that moms here in Baltimore hope they instill onto their kids is a strong work ethic. Number 3 is intelligence. Number 2 is love of family. And the number 1 thing that Baltimore moms hope they instill onto their kids is kindness.
Yeah.
Kindness. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that was like the main thing that you walked away with from your parents, Jess? Is kindness?
Yes.
Like, what do you think if you walked away, like growing, now that you're 27 years old, what do you think that's that one value that you walk away with more than anything from your parents?
It's different for both of them.
Okay.
My mom, it's strength, and my dad is individuality.
Why strength with moms?
She always was very like, I guess, don't let anyone put you down. Believe in yourself. You can do anything. You don't need, and it was never in a negative way, but she was just like, she was always very like, you don't need no man. You know what I mean? But she was always like
hands.
That.
Oh, she had seen the hands right there.
You know?
You don't need no man.
But you are strong and you can do anything on your own. And with my dad, I say individuality because he always embraced my funny and my quirkiness. And I think sometimes I've noticed that I feel like with girls maybe can be a little hard when you are different in that way. Mm-hmm. And he almost would be like, do that thing again or say that joke again, you know, and made me feel comfortable with myself.
This is why you are the way you are.
Always.
Because he's the one that encouraged it.
I always wanted to make him laugh and I got more fun out of that than anything.
Right. Mm-hmm. My mom was so big on just be yourself and I wouldn't be here today. I can't tell you how many people tried to talk me out of going and being on the radio.
Everyone.
Like, go get a normal job. And my mom is always just be yourself. My brother's gay. And I am so thankful that my mother was always that way with us, with just be yourself, because there wasn't really a big production once my brother came out. It wasn't, and this was back before quote unquote being gay was okay. You know
or
what
accepted.
I mean?
Accepted. No.
Especially because I grew up in the South. Right. So growing up in the South, it wasn't accepted. Like I grew up in Georgia. It just was like in a pretty strong Christian household, which in the South was like not okay. And it was never really a question. It was like, that's who you are. You're yourself. And that's it.
It's a beautiful thing.
That my mom, when she walked away with saying, this is the one thing I'm glad I instilled into you, is just to be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But most Baltimore moms this morning are saying that they hope they instill kindness into their kids. So, you know, text us this morning. Is that the one thing that you wish that you had? 410-583-1065.
Hannah says integrity. Jen says empathy. And Baltimore dad, he says integrity.
Dads too. Not just be moms. You're going to want to hear this morning. I don't know if you kept up the saga from yesterday. It's Mix, by the way. Mix 106.5. We're Kramer and Jess. Yesterday, we talked to a girl named Angie around this time, right?
Yes.
Angie was telling us that she was apprehensive because her very first kiss post-divorce afterwards, she never talked to the guy again.
Yeah, he just ghosted her.
And she felt like it was because her kid, her seven-year-old son had, like, I guess he opened the window during it because they saw the car lights pull up and
yeah.
it was late.
Yeah.
And was like, oh, my God, Mom, the gross, and was kind of freaking out. And so it just kind of got in my head. You'll find out as we go through this that I'm, like, undiagnosed OCD. I just get obsessed over situations like
OCD
that.
OCD or nosy.
I'm
you
just
know,
super,
either one.
Super nosy.
Whatever we want to call it.
So I said, listen, why don't we just, like, call him and
ask.
Find out if that's the case? Because why even walk around with that on your soul?
Yes.
Because as a divorced person with a kid, I'm sure that already kind of goes through your head.
Yeah.
About how are men going to react to you having kids?
It's hard.
So, I called him yesterday after the show. She gave me his number. I called him after the show.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to come on the radio with us like 7:40 this morning. Like, we're going to put them back together to find out, like, was that the case? So 7:40 this morning on Mix. We're talking to both of them. Good morning, Amber. Happy Friday. What's going on?
I was wondering how the Kramer's Plenty of Fish situation was going.
Oh, it's it is very dormant right now. Very dormant right now.
It's bleak. Okay.
Yeah.
But I'm only asking because I'm a little confused. I went on the Facebook page. I was like, okay, what is up? What's the red flag with this guy? Like, why is no one accepting a date invitation?
Right.
And I'm really confused because I don't know why no one would accept a date invitation from you.
I think there's probably plenty of reasons why people wouldn't accept a date invitation from me. Where do you want to start?
Well, how much time do we have, Amber?
Unfortunately, we're out of time for today. I told you the last couple of weeks that I've been, like, striking out trying to date in Baltimore. On the dating apps, I've just not been successful. And, like, we'll start conversations, things seem like they're going in the right direction, and then they just kind of, like, fall off. And I couldn't figure out, was I doing something wrong in this city? Was there some kind of, like, secret code word I need to give women to let them know that, like...
You were trying really hard, too.
I was
reading the messages, and I was... Yeah, I don't know why.
So what I kind of can't, we'll talk about this pretty candidly here for a second. What the realization that I came to is that because I am now almost 3 years post-divorce.
Okay.
And when I got back on the dating scene, I went kind of hard, right? Yeah. Would you say it's fair?
Yeah, you were out in these streets.
And so about a year in, I started dating, and then I just wanted to be casual, right? And so I kind of had all of these relationships going, right? Where I just wasn't taking it seriously. And I was very honest about that I was looking just for casual, you know, just...
Which, that was the phase that you were in.
Yep.
You've never, ever had that chance in your life to have that phase.
And so what happened was at the beginning of 2020, I literally on New Year's Eve was like, okay, I'm going to take this seriously.
Like everyone.
Yeah. Like,
here we go. My best year.
I'm going to get my life together 2020.
Yeah.
15 days into 2020.
Falls apart.
Where I was like, I was narrowing down this one girl. And I was like, that's it. I'm going to, like, ask her to be my girlfriend.
Yeah.
And we're going to do it. Boom. I lost my job 15 days later.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, I'm not really in the headspace to be in a relationship. Like, I got to get my feet back on the ground first, right? But throughout that time, I kind of just have all of these side...
Situations.
Yes. Where they're not really friendships.
No, they
and they're
were
not really relationships. They're not
careful.
Really. They're not really relationships.
All right,
but I realize, now being removed from the situation since we moved over here...
That it was messed up.
Not that it's messed up, that it's, I have to do something with them.
You are ready for chapter two.
Exactly. I can't move forward and be in a relationship or even start to date in Baltimore until I, like, close the California chapter. So if you go.
Yes, you are correct.
Thank you, Jess. Sometimes you're so not supportive, it's unbelievable.
What do you mean? I am your biggest fan. Don't you dare. I as your best friend, it is my duty and job to always be honest with you, and everything I say is with love. Now, if it comes across with attitude, that's fine. But I love you, and I'm never going to lie to you. I'm your best friend.
So here, this is where I'm at in my dating phase. I have decided I have got to put Baltimore dating on hold until I close all those chapters over there.
Agree.
Because there are a few people I would consider good female friends mm-hmm. that I think in their head think that this could possibly turn into a relationship. I have to like close those chapters. And I have been. If you go and listen to it, we have an uncensored podcast where I break this all down.
Yeah, no, you need to listen to that because and we don't have enough time to give you all the details that you need to understand what where he's at right now.
It's raw, okay? It's pretty vulnerable. If you just go to KramerandJess.com mm-hmm. and listen to our uncensored podcast, Kramer with K, KramerandJess.com, and you can decide. You can decide this is like the healthy way of doing it. I feel like it is. I don't, by the way, I don't know, Amber, if we've gone way too long to answer your question.
Amber's like, I just wanted to know if you're on Plenty of Fish.
Amber hung up 10 minutes ago.
She's like, I'm cool.
She's like, I see now why you don't get dates. You're way too long-winded. So go to KramerandJess.com and you can go click on the Uncensored Podcast, episode 5, and kind of breaks it all down. We're a mess on Friday. Can you feel it? I would watch out this Halloween if your kids are getting this kind of candy because dentists are saying, nin, 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 nin,
don't do it.
Fun ruiners. It's Mix 106.5. It's Kramer and Jess. Happy Friday, by the way.
Happy yeah. Purple Friday.
Yeah, that's right. We got the Baltimore Top 3 here in a sec. Before we get to this, man, today is going to be the day. I can feel it. We are so close to giving away literally $1,000.
I can feel it every time I want to do that. I'm sorry.
The game is called Mega Prize Minute. We've got 80% of the questions out there. That's
we're
the
so
good news.
Close.
If you're ready to play, be here. We're going to do it in about less than 10 minutes on Mix 106.5.
Mix 106.5. It's Top 3 with Kramer and Jess.
Trending stories in Baltimore and across the nation.
Exactly what it is. Now here's Jess.
Sponsored by Bob Ward Homes. Check out the new Snader Summit Town Homes at BobWard.com. The status of the second presidential debate between President Trump and Joe Biden is up in the air after the commission that organizes the event said it would be held virtually to minimize the risk of spreading the coronavirus. So the Commission on Presidential Debates announced that the second debate would be scheduled for October 15th in Miami and would feature virtual appearances. However, President Donald Trump quickly shut that down and he said, I'm not going to waste my time on a virtual debate. That's not what debating is about. He also said, you sit behind a computer and do a debate and it's ridiculous and then they cut you off whenever they want. Now, the whole thing is a little confusing and it went back and forth all day yesterday. You know, Joe Biden said, okay, let's do this. And then he said, no. So as of right now, in this moment, they've decided to do a town hall format where the moderator from C-SPAN anchor Steve Scully would be in Miami while Trump and Biden will be in separate locations scheduled for October 22nd, which is already the latest debate date in 40 years.
Yeah.
Also, the White House announced this morning that President Trump was cleared to do events as well, right?
Right. It's like in-person events. Mm-hmm. Is that the word I'm looking for? I forget the exact term they use. Would anybody else be okay with no more debates? Honestly, did the first debate really change your mind or help you decide? Maybe there's some people that are like, no, I'm undecided before, but now I've made my decision. I just feel like there are so few points that were actually made about like what the candidates stood for versus what they felt like they didn't stand for. Mm-hmm. The other person was saying they did. I'd be okay if we just didn't. Can we just like move the voting date up? Let's just get this thing over with.
Yeah.
Let's just vote next Tuesday.
Want to talk about candy?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Sure. Why not?
Weird
transition, but
candy.
Yeah.
Trick-or-treating may be up in the air also for 2020, but one thing that is definitely not canceled is Halloween candy. However, you know, there is one bad thing. It is still bad for your teeth. So Baltimore dentists have released a list of worst candies for Halloween. The worst candy is sticky candy. So these are chewy candies like taffy and things that are gummy that linger in your teeth. Next are sour candies. And third is lollipops. What do you think the best candy is?
Like, are you saying like the best for you candy or what candy do I like the best?
No, best candy for your teeth. What do you think that is?
Probably something disgusting.
Hey.
Like the houses that give toothbrushes. Best candy for your teeth. Probably bubble gum or something.
What? I just told you that sticky candy, gum is chewy. Gum is chewy.
Not sticky, it's different.
Oh my, he's not listening to me. I'm over here. Anyways, the best candy for you is chocolate. Chocolate doesn't linger on your teeth for too long, and it's less of a risk to get tooth decay. So, yay, go ahead and get your chocolate on. Writer, actor, and producer Mindy Kaling is writing the next Legally Blonde sequel. The Office alum has been selected to write Legally Blonde 3, recruited by none other than Elle Woods herself, Reese Witherspoon. Mindy said she was nervous about signing on for the project because it's so iconic, but she's glad that she did. And she says that it's been really fun to write. A movie checking in on Elle Woods in her 40s is something that's going to be great for Reese, and people people are going to have a fun time seeing her play this part.
I think we're going to start seeing a lot more of this, these remakes and these sequels and things. And we already have over the last couple of years, but I think it just takes us back to like a different time.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And as we're getting older, it's kind of weird, right, to see things come back around. Because Legally Blonde came out what year? It had to have been late 90s.
I mean, honestly, I have no idea.
So it's been probably close to 20 years, if I had to assume.
And it's been fun. Ariana Grande incorporated it with Thank You Next. Yep. That kind of brought it back around. So I'm excited. This is Jess, and that was your top three.
Mix 106.5, it is Kramer and Jess. It's Purple Friday, so you know the words. It's actually just letters here.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
Let's go.
B.
Yeah.
B.
Favorite thing we do on Friday.
Jess as an unofficial cheerleader of the Ravens.
In my heart.
Yeah, I feel that. I felt like we needed to call our friend Jason Lockenfora because Jason works on the sports station, the 105.7 The Fan, and he's kind of like our inside into Ravens football.
And also just tells us what's going on because we don't know.
Right. We're not the most knowledgeable, just even in the game of football.
We support it, but we just don't know the rules.
Go Ravens!
That's all right. As long as the guys in purple and black win, everything's okay.
That's exactly what we say. That's the way that we look at it, Jason. Hey, I've got to ask you a question because a couple of minutes ago, Jess was doing the Baltimore Top 3, and we were talking about how Lamar has not been at practice the last couple of days. Like, what?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a thing. He's got a knee situation. He picked up a knock in that game that they won over the weekend against Washington.
Okay.
He's also a little under the weather. They're also listing him as having some illness. Mm-hmm. And obviously in the climate we're in, that alone will lead you to wanting to have an abundance of caution in terms of letting guys interact and practice.
Well, that's the first thing. Obviously, this is complete speculation on my end. I'm not trying to report any news, or this is nothing but my own anxiety and fears. I mean, we're not thinking coronavirus, are we?
No.
Stomachache. No.
If there was concern about that, there's a roster designation. You know, they have a list that you could put a player on if that was the concern. And then you would get it, and someone else could come in and replace him while he quarantines or whatever. That is not at all the case of what's going on here. To this point, the sense from guys I talked to in that locker room is that they're going to just be as careful as possible with Lamar because he's the franchise.
Right.
They do expect him to play. Obviously, you'd love to have your starting quarterback at practice because he's the most important guy on the team, by and large. But this kind of stuff does happen in the NFL, and especially in the climate we're in, the Ravens just want to be as smart as possible about
and careful.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what if he doesn't play? Then who plays after that? Because again, being completely
sure. Yeah, it would be Robert Griffin III, RG3, as he's known, who was a great college quarterback at one point, won the Heisman Trophy as the best player in college football, had a great rookie season with Washington in 2012, and then injuries have really derailed his career since then. So he played, if you watch the whole game, he played the last couple of series there and threw an interception when he got hit.
So we're fine. So what you're saying is we're fine.
It's a big drop-off. The only time you want to see your backup quarterback, for the most part, is when you have a huge lead and you're resting guys. And the Ravens were able to do some of that last week and have been able to do that in a lot of their wins.
Okay.
I'm not sure that that's going to be the case this week, though. Last week I told you guys it was homecoming game, right?
Yes. Right.
They're going to beat up on these guys and start feeling good again. This week I would say it's like, you remember like school and there'd be a little kid who, you know, would have trouble maybe keeping up with some of the other kids on the
sand
lot or whatever.
Yeah.
And you'd come back to school the following fall and it's like, oh my God, Jimmy's got muscles and a mustache and I think he grew 6 inches.
And his voice is deeper all of a sudden. Who is he?
Cincinnati Bengals. Okay, they're little Jimmy who ain't so little anymore. Now, are they ready to trade punches for 3 hours with the Ravens? Not yet, but they're a heck of a lot closer to being able to do it now than they were a year ago.
Uh-huh.
And by this time next year, they might really be a little bit more of a heavyweight. So this is going to be a tougher game. I mentioned the Heisman Trophy and the award given to the best college football player. Uh-huh. The Bengals' new quarterback, Joe Burrow, won that award last year at LSU. He's come in as a rookie and doesn't look like a rookie. He looks like a guy who's been doing this his whole life, and, mm-hmm. and he's got some good players to throw the ball to.
So are we predicting a win, though, still this weekend?
I'm predicting a win, but a tighter win. I'm predicting you might have to sweat this out a little bit if you have a lucky blanket or some superstition you do.
Grab it.
Fan that you think helps them win.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Do all the things, whatever it is.
If you're not wearing purple right now, this is your fault if they don't win.
I'm saying it's going to take a village to get this done, and I think we got the right village, but beware of the Cincinnati Bengals in the future. They're no longer everybody's favorite team to play.
One thing that we've been kind of keeping up with, and in case you're new to our show, is that Jess made a very bold statement. I feel like she came in kind of too excited on week number one of this show, but it was your very first Ravens, you know, season, and she got into the purple, and then she comes in on Monday.
I fell in love.
She's like, if the Ravens win the Super Bowl, then I'm going to get a Ravens tattooed on me.
Yeah.
And how are we in that progression?
How are we looking, Jason?
I think you're good.
What?
I don't want to root against them, but I think you're gonna probably escape the needle. We'll see.
What you think so?
Okay.
We'll see. I mean, if we're gonna do this on a week to week basis, I feel like that needle's a little further back from your arm or your back or.
Okay. This is going to be a week to week thing because my mom wants me to check in with you every single week to see just so she can mentally prepare. So this is going to be a week to week thing.
I you may have to sweat this out through the playoffs.
Okay.
Hopefully, you know, everybody here in Baltimore is hoping you do.
Yeah.
You may even have to sweat it out through Super Bowl Sunday. But the way they're put together right now, guys, I'm not sure they could beat the Kansas City Chiefs or the Seattle Seahawks or the Green Bay Packers. Some of these teams that have truly elite offenses and all-world quarterbacks, I just don't know that the Ravens are ready to win that particular game yet. So I would say your pain threshold meter, you probably don't have to worry about for a little while. But you know, we'll see.
But it's not completely off the table.
No.
You got to sweat it still a little bit.
Year, I just don't think you got to start fighting a towel yet or anything.
Okay. All right.
Jason Lockenfora, he is on our sports station, 105.7 The Fan, 2 to 6, right?
2 to 6 every weekday. Yes, indeed. Inside Access.
You're a good man. We appreciate you.
My pleasure. Have a great weekend. Thanks, guys. Oh, Copper says hi, too.
Bye.
See ya. Are you planning on traveling this holiday season? It's a question we're asking you right now. You can text us 410-583-1065. I want to find out if this survey is true. Happy Friday, by the way. We're Kramer and Jess. New poll out this morning says that 60% of people in Baltimore will not be traveling this holiday season. So that means 40% will.
Okay.
But still, that's down from last year, by the way, obviously. 1 in 3 people in the city say they won't even be celebrating the holidays this year. They say, we're not even going to do it.
What?
Which I think is kind of weird.
Yeah, what you mean?
What are you planning on doing for the holidays, Jess? Are you going to travel or no?
I honestly don't know. I don't know. This will be for Christmas.
Because we just moved here. Keep in mind, we've been in Baltimore and Maryland now for about 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So are you planning on going back already to California? What are you planning on doing?
I think I'll be here for Thanksgiving and in hope that I can make it home for Christmas.
That's actually, so it says 80% of people plan to actually drive to their November destination and then they will fly to their Christmas destination, their holiday destination.
Yeah.
I think that's my plan. I think that's what I'm going to do. My family lives in Georgia, and it's a 10-hour drive.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not get it twisted. It's not like a simple hop in the car and go, because I hate car trips.
Yeah.
But I just think to travel, because even just coming from California to here, it's kind of crazy to travel.
It was a lot.
Well, you looked at flights and how much they already costing.
Oh, my. That's another thing. It's mainly a financial thing. I think for one way, it's like $630-something dollars. Yeah. And that was like for the 6 a.m. flight.
That's crazy.
Not even an actual reasonable time, which is even more expensive for one way.
What are people saying? 410-583-1065. Do you plan on traveling this holiday season?
Jessica R. says, no, we are not traveling. A text from the 410 says, I have a cruise booked for November November 16th, right before Thanksgiving, Carnival Cruise is only letting a few ships go out of Florida. And as of now, their cruise is still going. And okay. they will definitely be on that boat.
You're trying to, you're like, please give me some normalities. Get me somewhere, please. Nix 106.5, it's Kramer and Jess. Good morning. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Don't know what your plans are for the weekend. I started watching Charm City Kings last night. Mm-hmm. That's the new movie that just hit HBO on Thursday, I think it was. I think it came out yesterday. Yeah. It was filmed right here in Baltimore. And just the summary, and this may mean something to you if you're from here, but this may be like an action. I don't know how deep this story goes. There's this 14-year-old boy named Mouse who desperately wants to join the Midnight Click. It's an infamous group of Baltimore dirt bike riders who rule the summertime streets. And it's got Meek Mill in it, by the way.
Yep.
But the story, I didn't think I was going to like it, to be honest with you. It just doesn't really, just by reading that description, I'm like, doesn't sound that good. But it's really good, especially these kids that are in it. The main star, his name is Jahi Winston. He's kind of talking about what it's like to prepare for a role like that when he's, not from here.
I did quite a bit of research. I didn't know a lot about the 12 O'Clock Boys at all, actually. I didn't know that it was such a prominent thing in Baltimore City until I watched the film that our film is inspired by, 12 O'Clock Boys by Lofty Nathan. And so studying the culture before, during, and a little bit after filming was really important to me.
Even if it doesn't sound like of interest to you at first, really well done. Mm-hmm. Really well done. That's on HBO Max right now. And now let's take a look at dog news today.
Today in dog news.
Because dogs are the best.
They are the best.
And this is the stuff we should be reporting on. As the media, we have a responsibility to bring
to
you the news.
Tell you.
And you know what? No one else is doing today in dog news but us.
That's right.
We didn't steal this segment from anybody.
We just made it up.
We just made it up because, dang it, dogs deserve the most attention because they are literally the best. All right. This is shout out to our military, too. There's a soldier who has been reunited with a dog that she fell in love with while she was serving overseas. Yeah, you're going to cry about this one, I think. Her name is Sergeant Erin Guthrie, and she was deployed in Kosovo. The Oregon Army National Guard is what she was. And she noticed a stray dog, and she had this quote-unquote instant connection with him. You ever seen a dog like that, and you're like, you're my soulmate dog?
No, I 100% understand.
So this 28-year-old was there for 8 months, and she kept seeing this dog, and she kind of felt like this dog was helping her be so far away from home.
Of course.
You know?
That companionship.
So she returned home and she was like, I really want to get this dog. Yeah. But she knew that, like, how am I going to be able to possibly
bring her home,
get this dog from Kosovo back over here? Mm-hmm. And the dog, whose name is Mika, and that's short, by the way, for Mikeisha.
Okay.
Which is a group, which means friendship or brotherhood.
Aww.
And so what Guthrie did was she reached out to this group called Paws of War, which helped raise money and then actually go through all the obstacles to get Mika to the U.S. and to be Guthrie's pet. So they were reunited this week, and she says it's an amazing feeling to see that tail wag once again.
Yay!
So there you go. That is today in dog news here on Mix 106.5.
Hey, thanks for listening.
Make sure you subscribe to get the show daily.
And if you think we've earned it, give us 5 stars.
Hear Kramer and Jess live every morning on Mix 106.5 Baltimore.
And check out the Kramer and Jess Uncensored podcast at KramerandJess.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.